Good morning, Prayer Warriors. Mark here. So glad to be back here with you. It's just a great day. And let's just go to God in prayer real quick. Dear Lord, we just give thanks just for this time that we can meet together and share your word, just understand your word. We just praise your name and we pray for those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. Hey, just as a heads up, if you've got a chance, turn to 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14, and so here's John writing this little epistle. And there in 14 it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." God hears us. God hears our prayers. You know, it's not, "Oh God, I want to win the lottery," but if you're praying earnestly and steadfastly for others, and you come at the end of the road, the end of the rope, God hears us, and he will answer those prayers. And I want to share with you just a quick example of that. For the last month, I spent over in Turkey as a part of a medical unit that deploys to these different disasters. We were in this little town of Antioch, and Antioch really is a biblical town. At one time, during Christ's time, it was the third largest city in the known world, behind Alexandria in Egypt and Rome in Italy. And so it was a bustling seaport, had tens of thousands of people, a pretty amazing little town. And in fact, some of the Jews who had been part of, taken away during the Babylonian times and other times, they settled back there. It's a huge green valley, got a river running down through it, great water, great evening rains coming off the Mediterranean. Currently, it's about 20 miles from Syria, 20 miles from the Mediterranean Sea, and it's down in that far southwestern corner of Turkey. And it goes back thousands of years, and in fact, in the New Testament, some of those Jews, they just stayed there, and they were bringing Gentiles to Judaism, and then later on, the Jews became Christians, and we read about it there in Acts 6:1. After there was a Gentile convert, Nicholas, and he was among the seven Greek-speaking leaders chosen to serve as deacons in Jerusalem. That's there in Acts 6:1. And then the persecution that they saw later on down there when Stephen was martyred, some of the other believers moved to Antioch, and that was Acts 11:19. And then they sent Barnabas, because it was such a large Christian population up there, they sent Barnabas up there to lead the church there in Acts 11 as well. And on his way up, he stopped by Tarsus, and who did he pick up? He picked up Paul. And so Paul and Barnabas spent an entire year in Antioch before what? Before they went on the first missionary journey. And where did they come back to? Antioch. So it's got a long history of Christians in that area. Currently, it's called Antakya. It has about 200,000 people. And it's a fairly, accepting area. It's probably 80% Muslim, probably another 10% Alawite, and then the rest Christian. There's a small Christian population in there. And so it's a bustling metropolis of 200,000. But that all changed on February 6th of this year. Antioch is no more. It was that morning, a little after 4 on February 6th, a Monday morning, everybody's asleep, and a 7.8 strength earthquake struck. It's on this major fault line, the Anatolian fault line. It dropped all of the buildings between 6, 8, 9 stories tall, all of these huge apartment buildings, crushing all the people in it, killing them, some of them instantly, some of them not for days, as they cried out for help. And then that afternoon, a little after 1 o'clock, 9 hours later, a 7.5 earthquake struck, bringing down more buildings with more pain. And since that date, there's been more than 10,000 little aftershocks, to include a 6.8 earthquake. They are on the San Andreas Fault of southern Turkey. Since then, 50,000 people along that earthquake zone have died. 20,000 people there in Antioch. Thousands, tens of thousands more injured. So the organization I'm with, we deployed an emergency field hospital 3 days after the earthquake. We were down on the ground. 5 days after that, we were taking in our first patient. And then those 7 weeks that we were there on the ground, we saw over 6,800 patients, conducted over 275 surgeries. But we couldn't mend their hearts. Because they're Muslim, and the Ministry of Health for the Turkish government said, we will let you come in and treat our people, but you cannot pray for them openly, you cannot read your Bibles openly, you cannot sing Christian gospel songs openly. You cannot stand by their bed and pray over them out loud. But we had faith in our God that we could, you know, have a morning meeting at 7 o'clock and then an evening meeting at 1900 or 7 p.m. in the evening. And we would get together in a small group in a distant tent and we would pray for those people. And if we were beside a bed in a ward or something, the nurse would reach out there and just hold a hand quietly, comforting that person and praying for them quietly. And God hears our prayers. One woman said, you have something that I don't have. What is that? We just said, we have God. And she, one young woman, one of our interpreters, asked about it more. And they're seeking. They want the truth. And we continue to pray for them silently. One afternoon, one of the interpreters, a young woman, 21 years old, who wanted more, wanted to talk more about Jesus Christ, but we couldn't do it. And we referred her to another group that was a Christian group in that area supporting the overall infrastructure, but that couldn't do it as well. And then one afternoon, a guy came in with a patient, said, hey, I've got this guy here. He really needs to be looked at. And as they were sitting there talking, he said, and by the way, I'm a pastor. I'm 13 hours away up in the northeastern part of the country, up in Izmir. And I came all the way down here just to help the people. Is there anybody here we can help? And we said, this young woman would like to speak with you. So answered prayers. And by the way, he came down there, and the name of his church is Lighthouse. And he was able to talk with that young Christian woman and lead her to Christ. So now they're friends on Instagram, and when she's released from her obligation to help translate, she'll go home, and she'll become a member of Lighthouse as a young Christian woman. And those prayers were answered every day, and we would offer them up silently. And just as it says here in 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he answers us. And he does answer us. He answered us in so many cases like that. They were healing hearts. A father would bring in his wife, and they had lost their two daughters. And he asked, what do you have that I don't? And all we could reply was, we have God. And hopefully we were tilling the soil. We weren't planting the seeds. We weren't reaping the harvest. We had to leave that up to God. But hopefully we were tilling the soil. Just like you at home, at work, in your home, in your church, in your community, you can till that soil. And if somebody doesn't want to hear about Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, maybe you can say that quiet prayer. Just looking at them, just praying for them in your quiet, small place of your own. God hears our prayers, doesn't he? Well, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for allowing me to share that. Take care. Have a blessed week.